Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. This is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, and welcome tonight to our program. It's going to be a great program. We have Zip White on tonight, a national champion in the martial arts. We're always putting together the history, the archives of sport karate. And tonight, we have a great champion with us. And some of the things that we want to do tonight is to talk to you about the new platform that we're on. So I'm going to come on first and give you some options on how to listen to the program. Well, one of the first things that we're going to be doing tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different. Instead of opening the lines up, you can actually chat with me live, and you can ask questions through the chat, and I'll forward those questions on to Professor Gary Lee and also to Zip, and sort of do something a little bit different tonight, try and see how this here works. Now, you can also, how do you chat live with me? Well, if you're on your computer or on the mobile app, just go down to the bottom of the page that you're on. You have to be on the blog radio show page to do that. And down at the bottom of the page, it says live chat. So you can just type in a question, make a comment, and all that information will be right there, and I can be responding back to you. Also, in the call tonight, you can use your mobile app. So it doesn't matter if you have an iPhone or an Android. You can actually go to Google Play or the App Store and just go there. And what you want to do is look up Martial Arts Masters Radio Show. You might need to type my name in, Jesse Bowen, also, and search and just download that app. Now, you can listen to the show through the app. So once you download the app, there's a menu at the bottom. What you do is click on the menu. And what you're going to be looking for is you're going to be looking for the show for Professor Gary Lee. So that's what you're going to be looking for when you click on the mobile app. And from the mobile app, you can listen to him live and, interact with the program. You can listen to our radio show 24/7. We have, during the morning times, we have business information going on. During the afternoon, we have music. In the evening, we have music. The programs, we have meditation. So we're doing a lot of different things with the radio station, really. And we're hoping by the end of this month, it's going to be really doing exactly all the things that we really would like for it to do. So let's see whether or not Professor Gary Lee, are you on the call? Okay, I think he might have got dropped off our call tonight. Let me see. We're going to try a couple more things, waiting for him to get back in there. And if not, I'll just go ahead and start the program for him tonight. And everyone, don't forget, a lot of great things coming up. We have we have the Europa Games coming up in about 2 weeks on the 22nd. The Europa Games will be in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we're launching the AMAA Kickboxing Certification. This is fitness kickboxing. One of our sponsors for this is Beachbody. We're going to be showing our new instructors how they can now add Beachbody to their program. Professor Gary Lee, did you make it back on the call?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right, sir. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to let you take over, and I'll be back at the end of the call.
Well, thank you so much, Chauncey Bowen. We appreciate your time and your effort and all the work you do to make this show productive and successful like it is. We'll see you in just a little while. Welcome, everybody, to the live interview with the national champion, Texas Sport Karate Champion, tonight, Mr. Arnold Zip White. This is an AMAAA radio blog exclusive, parts unknown moment for the Sport Karate Museum Archives. Humanity. If I am blind and they need someone to keep me safe from harm, it matters not the race to me or the one who takes my arm. If I am saved from drowning as I grasp and grope, I will not stop to see the face of the one who throws the rope. Or if on some battlefield I'm falling faint and weak, the one who gently lifts me up, may any language speak. We sip the water clear and cool, no matter the hand that gives it. A life that lives worthwhile and fine, what matters the one who lives it. That was a poem that was given to me by our guest tonight, and I'm going to be reading something about him personally here in a few minutes, but, you know, this show is really about bringing people together weekly, every Tuesday night from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000. And now we're welcoming up through the Sport Karate Museum archives those incredible legends that built their legends and icons up from the year 2000, 2017. And this year at the Living Legends 25th anniversary, we'll be opening that part up of the Sport Karate Museum archives to recognize those champions. But the fine pioneers and founders, they're the ones that we concentrate on this show. And we concentrate on individuals who are part of that group, who came from that group. You know, the people that were part of the 50s and 60s who created the martial arts in America. And even though we're all Asian influenced, sport karate was born in America. And those gentlemen, those pioneers, those ladies, those men, we owe them. And this show is dedicated to honor each and every one of them. We protect the history, one warrior at a time. I believe that everyone is important. And a person has laid a landmark for what they've done in sport karate. This gentleman tonight really has done it too. I haven't been in touch with him for quite a few years, but what makes this really personal to me tonight is that I've actually been in the ring with the guy probably over 30 times or more. And he's in my top 10 list. That's right. He made Gary Lee's top 10 list. And that top 10 list is the top 10 people that I never won against. I won more seconds and third places from Mr. Zip Arnold White than a lot of people. And really honored to be in the ring with this guy. And stay with me because you're going to be really interested in knowing that he's so much more than a black belt national karate champion. You're going to enjoy this interview with Arnold Zip White, American hero. During his time in the Air Force, he served overseas in the Korea twice. Both times he studied with the locals and also taught on the base. He has always been very dedicated to sharing his love and knowledge of the martial arts by putting on demonstrations for both Kelly and Lackland Air Force bases at such events as the Christmas programs for underprivileged children, the Asian History Month programs, and the annual air show at the Kelly Air Force Base. As an instructor at Lackland Air Force Base, he taught for 7 years without charging his students anything for their lessons. This was his way of paying it forward. Then he was given an ultimate to either charge tuition or not to teach on the base any longer. He finally decided to charge his students only $15 a month so he could continue to keep the kids off the streets, teach them the discipline and integrity and skills that would stay with them throughout their lives. While competing on the national circuit, in 1984, Mr. White traveled to California where he was fighting the national champions, Steve Nasty Anderson. The fight was so intense, a movie producer put it into a movie called Kill Point. Zip was ranked number one black belt in Texas for many years and ranked the number one heavyweight in the country as well. That producer, by the way, was Leo Fong, another history general for the Sport Karate Museum and well-known personal instructor of many, many people, including Kathleen Kafuska, trained with Ron Marchini out of Stockton, California, the great Leo Fong, who created Kill Point. With such notables on the national circuit as Steve Nasty Anderson, Billy the Tybo Blanks, Richard Plowden, and Russ Mapes, Mr. White had to maintain his top-notch performance while serving on an active duty for his country. Zip was a consultant for the U.S. Air Force when the armed forces wanted to have Rick tryouts to pick a team to train in Northrop, Virginia. Well, you know, I'm going to bring him on now live so we can hear the rest of the story in parts unknown. Mr. Zip Arnold White, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Gary?
Hey, may I call you Zip?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You know, I've learned in life, it's always better to ask permission for things, right?
You know it.
Well, you know, I kind of introduced you a little bit more, but I'm gonna take back my listeners a little bit further back, maybe back when you became a black belt, and who was the person that influenced you then to create a black belt named Zip White? Let's talk about that and lead up into the service and maybe the Texas career. So let's talk about, first of all, who created Zip White. And first of all, before we even start, thank you for your service and what you've done for our country. And I appreciate that so much. And the history generals appreciate that. And all the listeners appreciate what you did for our country, Arnold Zip White. So thank you right off the bat. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Yes, well, back in the day, man, I used to watch Bruce Lee in the Green Hornet back in the day, and while I was in Virginia. And then when I was in high school, Charles Perkins, who taught Japanese martial arts, gave a mini course at Thomas Dale High School. And, of course, that was my first time of actually getting in an informal class because it was at the school itself. And then it was something I always wanted to do. And then in tech school, when I joined the Air Force back in 76, a couple guys got to messing around and was playing around, and he called me Hong Kong Fooey. I don't know if you remember that cartoon back in the day. But they just did a joke. But then when I got down there to
San Antonio. You hear me, Zip?
Uh-huh.
I can sing that song if you want me to. I will.
And I
Go
know
ahead.
You know that
I'm sorry.
Song that everybody was kung fu fighting came out back then, and man, it just
right.
got me hyped. Until I got down here to San Antonio, Mr. Reese, my instructor, was teaching at Lackland Air Force Base, and I actually wanted to join, but I got sick a week before because I showed up to the class and watched. And I said, "Wow, this would be something interesting to do." But then I got sick and I was in the hospital for a week. And I had told him I was going to come back. I guess he thought I wouldn't come back, but I was in the hospital for a week. And then when I came out, I joined the class, and that's where I met Grasshopper and Sweet Lou from he's down in Georgia now, retired Army. And my instructor, Rogers Reese, Mr. Reese, retired from the Air Force at overseas. And then, of course, Becky Novak became one of my students. And so all these people, we used to travel all over Texas, man. But there were certain things I learned back home that I brought forth with me. Like my football coach used to tell me, winners never quit and quitters never win. Because I remember Henry Jefferson one time, I was playing football, and he came across and I wasn't paying attention. I'm just lollygagging, I guess that's what the coach called it anyway. But I was trying to check my guy. And Henry Jefferson put his helmet right in my gut. And, I mean, I was laying on the ground, couldn't breathe at all. And the coach stood over me and said, "You know what? Winners never quit and quitters never win." And so I remember that until this day because I've never quit at anything I've done. You know, I've always put forth the effort. And because of what you stated earlier about me not charging for 7 years, what happened was my instructor didn't charge us. Mr. Reese didn't charge us. So I was given back something that was innate. In other words, can't nobody take it away from me because I learned the art from him and I've dedicated myself. We worked out three times a day every day. But I wanted to be better than that. Monster Man Eddie was one of the guys, heavyweights that I saw back in the day that really inspired me because this guy was, he could jump, he could kick. I was like, wow. You know, heavyweights
great
don't
guy.
Really do
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
so
he's,
what
he's
I
a
did,
good guy, personal friend.
Right, and we had done some boxing back in the day because there's only one guy I really idol in my life, and that was Bruce Lee. But Muhammad Ali set the pace for African Americans back in the day because, you know, what he did against the war and all that stuff, but also because he was so quick being a heavyweight. So back home we used to box. But what I also did once I joined the military, I taught myself how to hit the speed bag. We jumped rope. I ran every day, sometimes three times a day. And even when I when I got married, I told my wife, I said, look, as long as you don't mess with this karate stuff that I'm doing, then we're going to be okay. Everything else is fine. But just don't mess with the karate, because it's something that I feel that I got to do with this martial arts thing. I did not know about being a champion or how I was going to do it. All I knew is that once my instructor left, I took over the class and I tried to build it up, and which I did. And when I was forced to teach for $15 a month, and although we didn't advertise nothing like that, it's just that people come to the gym and say, wow, what a great karate class. And then we brought back the trophies.
I want to stop right there. Zip. I got a debate with you for a minute. You did advertise, because in the early years when I was part of it, when I first came to Texas in 1979, 80, 81, 82, 83, you were at every tournament I was at, and advertising and bringing your students that always won, Rebecca, and you mentioned Grasshopper, who was really Anthony Linson, and an incredible group of people who I don't remember, but I remember them as far as their fighting ability. They would fight, and they would win their divisions, and they would always lead up to, because it was a big deal to have the black belts at the end, always fight, and everyone would stay. It wasn't like it is today. I mean, there would be a lot of people, hundreds of people that would stay
and see
who would make it to the finals. And so I am going to debate you. You did advertise, because people wondered who are around other great people, and you don't realize you're great then, but they wonder, how do you keep those students, and then how do you make them so good? So, yeah, you were advertising, because everyone knew that you were a great instructor, apparently. Now, I want to ask you something. In those early years before you became a national competitor in 84 or 85, whatever it was, those early years I mentioned from 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, you fought some incredible Texas fighters, and some of those people you fought over and over and over again. And we're going to talk about some of those guys at the Legends Name Game, but I want to ask you right off the bat, do you have someone that you fought in Texas that maybe that was that got you up, that made you do your best?
Well, you know, Sherman and the late Richard Dixon student, Willie Holland, guys, when I competed against them, I mean, I had to bring my game. And, you know, this was no cakewalk in Texas. And as I told Ray McCollum back in 2015, you know, I'm glad, because I don't run away from competition. I mean, I'm not scared of no man. Honestly, I'm not. I mean, you either, well, that goes to that line I told you about last week.
Yes.
General Zapata said, I'd rather die standing on my feet than living the rest of my life on my knees. And truefold to that if the competition is there, I'm going to be there. Whether or not you're the best of the best, because in order to be the best, you got to beat the best. And I said that in the Hermes magazine years ago. And so I don't shy away from competition. And that just means if I lose, I just got to go back home, go to the gym, work out and strengthen my skills, lift weights, hit the speed bag, and get better. And, you know, of course, you know I could do the Chinese and American splits, and being 210 pounds of steel and being able to do that. A lot of people are like, well, especially when I went to Korea, the Koreans look at me and say, how you do that? You're such a big man. I said, how you do it? You work at it, right? And so it's just one of those things. You know, it wasn't being smart with them. It's just telling them that anytime when you want something, you got to work at it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I'm going to ask another question, because you answered that very politically right, and I appreciate that. You didn't pick somebody, but you may say that you fought everybody the same, which is cool. Well, you know, this is parts unknown, so I have to ask the hard questions. You mentioned something earlier in the pre-fight, the pre-interview that we talked about, and you did. You fought in the time when the guy that was smaller, the Luis Vasquez, the Al Garza, you know, the Mike Hughes, the real small guys that were tiny.
Yeah.
How'd you fight those little guys, like Troy Dorsey? We talked about him the other day. How'd you fight those fast, really fast, super lightweight guys compared to the heavyweight guys that you obviously beat too? But those little lightweight guys, how'd you fight them? And who was your favorite to fight?
Right. And knowing that I had to, well, because, you know, we had grand championships back then. And so even though I beat the heavyweight and light heavy, I still had to deal with those really fast guys, Speedy Gonzalez, you know. And so then what I did, I had to cut off the ring. But my back fist, and I'm telling you now, a lot of people praise me. Even when I went to Linda's tournament, they say, man, your back fist is the fastest I've ever seen. And matter of fact, I think it was Greg Dorsey, student Michael Sweets was there Saturday, and he said that his instructor had told him years ago, he said, he's the only guy, Zip White was the only guy to hit me with a back fist and left a bruise on my eye. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know that before until he told me that.
Yeah, Greg Dorsey was a good fighter, yeah.
Yeah, Greg. Greg is a heck of a fighter. But the thing is that I knew I had to, well, that's why I got the nickname Zip also, but because of the fact that, you know, people look at me and say, well, he's 210. Well, at that time, I was 210 pounds, 220 at the most. Being in the military, you got to still stay with your weight standards. But the thing is that I had to do something because lifting weights, they look at the bulk thinking I was slow. And, of course, hitting the speed bag equalized that out. And so if I could corner you, and plus my flexibility was, it was unnerving. Basically, a lot of people didn't think I could kick him in the head until I did it. Especially that hook kick. And actually, I got a sweatsuit over in Korea that actually told people exactly what my powers were. Because on my left hand, it said back fist. On my sleeve, on my right hand, it said ridge hand. And my left leg said hook kick. And the right leg said roundhouse kick. So I actually told people what I would hit them with. And I still did it. I mean, I still got the uniform. I'm actually going to put it on Facebook this week. But, it's kind of nice to know
That's cool.
I was respected. Because sometimes in Texas, man, I didn't get the respect that I did on the road when I travel outside the state of Texas, because certain issues and stuff like that. But, you know, just like anything else, I don't have obstacles or naysayers put me down or slow me down because I know who I am. And that's the other thing I was telling you about last week, being a foster child. You know, as a kid, I never saw a way out. I mean, it was always like, wow, how am I going to be somebody? I always told Catherine Hancock, one day I'm going to be somebody. I just didn't know what. I didn't know who. I didn't even know how to go about it. But because when you grow up in that type of situation, poor, and in a foster home, people make fun of you. They talk about you. And, you know, it was depressing at times. But as a kid, you know, you always have these dreams. And I never let anybody stop me in my dreams. Like I said, I was going to finish college, and I did. Became a school teacher. And I was the top 10. I was in the top 10% of my class. So everything I do, I try to give it my all. So no one can say
what
man.
In the service, what exactly is your rank and what exactly do you do?
Yeah, I retired as a master sergeant, which is two ranks from the top. You got a senior master sergeant and chief master sergeant. But I served 18 years, and then they offered me the early retirement, and I took it because I knew I wanted to go to college and get that done. I was not going to leave this planet without getting my degree because I promised myself that when I was a kid. And so,
yes, sir.
But no, it's more or less, just fulfilling your goals, and you got to stay focused on that, you know.
Well, you know what? What I really love about you, Zip, is that you answered my question politically correct. You didn't name an exact fighter that you had a tough time with lightweight wise. You answered the same way you did the heavyweights. You fight everybody the same, and that's a cool champion's answer. Because you don't pinpoint somebody. That's cool. I understand that because, some fighters don't have that mentality where they look at every fighter being the same. Doesn't matter if they're short, fat, or stocky, quick, reputation, no reputation, whatever. The sleepers are the one that gets you anyway. And you've always had that champion's attitude. I've always remembered that from day one. One thing I've got to mention that you made me laugh the other day. I think it was in Galveston and – you know, I remember the fight you had with Mr. McCallum, but I remember, was it that where you screamed at me about cheering for John Jackson? Tell that story.
Oh, no, that was the Karate Olympics, man. That was the Karate Olympics.
Tell that story. I think that's funny.
Well, you were standing right behind me, and big John Jackson is like a mountain, man, about 6'7", 6'8", or something like that. And I'm fighting big John. And all I could hear was you standing behind me saying, "Get him, Big John, kick him, beat him." I was like, I called time out. I said, "Gary, if you want to yell for Big John, man, go over to his side and let my students, like, feel my students behind me." But I beat Big John, but man, that dude is one heck of a fighter, man. I mean, you know, I was just honored to be in the ring with him because I knew he fought full contact, you know. But he was a man, that dude was like a mountain to fight. But, like I said, I have no fear of no man. So it was more or less less dance, you know. Because I believe, like with Billy, we're all warriors. We come out to play and do our thing, but it's not about malice. It's not about hurting somebody or making somebody feel bad. Like, in other words, if there was a fighter in the ring with me who didn't have my skills or skill sets, I wouldn't just blast them out. Or now, that's sometimes I won 5-0, but it wasn't like I, you know, try to hurt them or embarrass them. You know, it was more or less like, okay, well, let's get this over so I can get to my next competition. But a lot of times, or well, matter of fact, I talked with the president of AOK last weekend, Barry. I was talking with him down at Leonard's tournament, and he said I was his first black belt match, and I beat him 5-0. He said his wife was getting out the camera ready to videotape us, and before she knew it, when she got ready, it was over. I told him, I said, well, it wasn't with Dallas.
That's
he said,
funny.
Man, I don't know if you know who Barry is, man, but he's a real cool
guy,
man.
Oh, yeah,
man.
Of course
we talk,
I do. Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah,
been present
we,
forever for the AOK. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, let me ask you a question. Okay, you've done Texas, and whatever the controversy was, you were a great champion, and you'll always be known as a great champion in Texas, period. Now you're fighting national. Now you're fighting some of the big names, and you're fighting them over and over again, and you're beating them. Now, the question, when you went national, did you step up your game? Of course, I know that answer. But when you did step in the ring, was it what you thought it would be, or was it different?
Oh, no.
Those
man,
national
it
competitions.
Like Richard Plowden from Detroit, man. Yeah, Richard used to battle, man. I think I fought him more than Nasty and Billy. But me and Richard Plowden, man, we used to go at it, man. But, you know, it was tit for tat. It wasn't one more dominated than the other. I don't know. You know, sometimes you get injuries and you don't tell nobody. Like, I broke my leg. I don't think I ever told anybody this except for my students. I broke my leg when I was in the Air Force off a telephone pole. I got shocked and I hit the ground, man. I had a herniated disc and broke my left leg, but I never told nobody. Matter of fact, I also competed on the national circuit. Matter of fact, it was right after Leonard Denley's tournament when I beat Glenn McMorris. We already had TDY orders to go out to New Mexico at Albuquerque to fight. Well, we showed up with Texas hats on and you know, excuse the language, but the guy goes, here come them damn Texans. And I was like, wow, man, you know, they already know about it. So I went in and I fought, and the guy grabbed my leg, the broke leg. He actually grabbed it and twisted it. And I actually landed on my face, but he didn't know. I mean, he didn't know that my leg was broke. I mean, I'd already had orders to go, and I wasn't going to turn them down. So I was supposed to stay off my feet for 9 weeks, man. I wasn't supposed to do nothing, but you know, man, that competition gets in your blood, man. So I ended up winning first place out there, but you know, that was one of my worst weekends, man, because I was in pain. Matter of fact, we were supposed to train. We went out there a day or two early. We were supposed to train. I told the guys, look, I'm going to hit the speed bag, and I'm going back to the room and rest my leg and elevate it. But, yeah, I had a broken fibula, I think, is a smaller bone in the leg. But I still competed. And you know, I didn't know I broke it at first, and I was still doing my PT, running my mile and a half. And by the third week, man, I was almost in tears. That thing was hurting so bad. But, you know, I didn't quit, man. You know, tolerance of pain and dealing with – I mean, martial artists do it all the time and boxers. So I dealt with it, man, but that was one painful weekend. But the competition on the national circuit, fighting Nasty in California, and I think I posted a couple weeks ago on Facebook – that we never had a national tournament while I was competing here in San Antonio. So I was on the road all the time, Portland, Oregon, Minnesota, Diamond Nationals, New York, New Jersey, California, Florida. We went all over the place, man, Louisiana. And I won.
What was your favorite tournament?
Well, actually, shocking, because he actually paid, you know, sometimes promoters would help you with your finances. But he actually put me in a room, gave me $100 for stipend and stuff. And I thought that was great, man, up in Chicago. You know, that was one of my best ones. And, of course, Larry Kelly, who just passed away not too long ago, I lent him my gi top one time. And he was such a nice guy, man. He said, hey, Zick, they won't let me fight with my sweat top on. Can you let me borrow your gi top? And he came out on the magazine. He came out in Karate Illustrated with my gi top on, and everybody said, hey, Zip, man, there's another Zip on the karate circuit. I said, nah, man, that's Larry Hook Kick Kelly, man. He's just wearing my gi top because they wouldn't let him fight with a shirt on, you know.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah,
he was
man,
a Kimbo
memories,
guy. He's a good guy. Absolutely. Miss him. Absolutely. Glad you said that. That's sweet of you to say that about him, because he was a great guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so National Circuit, let me ask you a question. Your favorite guy was the guys who helped you a little bit, the guy in Chicago. You didn't mention his name. Who was that in Chicago?
Sharkey. The guy who
helped me. Oh, John Sharkey Jr., okay. Yeah. AKA Nationals. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Great guy. Okay. Let me ask you a question.
Let me tell you this quick story. When I was up in Chicago, Rebecca Novak, which when we went out to the state of Texas, she was a green belt. I would let her fight up as a red belt. And I said it was okay. But then while I was in Chicago, she called me up and she said, Zip, you got your magazine, the latest one that came out? I said, yeah. She said, well, look at Region 4. And she's from Harrington, Kansas. And I looked at Region 4, and I said, well, yeah. She said, the girl on top. I said, yes. She said, I just beat her in a tournament. I was like, what? And George Brown, I don't know if you remember her, man. That sister was powerful. I saw her and Linda fight up at Fort Worth Pro-Am and another two different tournaments. And this girl, man, her and Linda was going tit for tat. But what happened was Becky beat her up there in her own hometown, man. I mean, it was crazy. And then, like I said, she was a red belt, beat George Brown as the number one black belt in that whole region, man. And so, you know,
Wow. That
made me proud because I know that my Dragons, man, when those Red Dragons went out there from Daniel Jolly to Grasshopper to, I know you remember the Hulk, Louis Gafford.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember him very, very vividly.
Yeah. So we went out there, man. We went out there, you know, and brought our A game.
With that said, Zip, I'm going to take a moment to mention some of my sponsors, and I'll be back with the Legends Name Game. We'll be part two, so stay on the line, and we'll be doing some upcoming stuff, and I'll be calling you in probably just a few minutes, okay? That's a great part one interview. Everybody, we're with Zip Arnold White, the one and only legendary fighter from Texas, nationally rated, and one of the great guys. As you heard, as I said earlier, he's a different type of guy other than what you see him on the karate on the floor. He's got a lot of heart. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with this deeper side of Zip Arnold White. Well, upcoming shows we have. Yeah, Zip, just stay on the line, okay? Stay on the line, buddy, okay? There you go.
All right.
Got some upcoming shows coming up. Next week, I have a very honorable show with the Judge Roy D. Kirbin. Oh, Joe, how did I start about Mr. Kirbin? Mr. Kirbin was the leader of the SWAT team. He was a judge, or he still is a judge. He works for the Tarrant County Sheriff's Department now. But he also invented the two-point kick. That's right. He invented the two-point kick, which you see in every tournament. He invented it with the Fort Worth Pro-Am, and I'll explain that at the show next week, April the 18th, with Judge Roy D. Kirbin, my special guest. April the 24th, we'll finish the year, the month out, with Bernie Pops Kransu, the one and only, the leader of the Sherman Oaks National Karate Team. I mean, some really incredible fighters, Leo Creer, Alvin Prouder, Rodney Saranzo, oh, golly, Jamie Kransu, Butch Tokasala, Mass Kransu. I got to be on the pleasure on the team for 12 years. My son was on the team for 4 or 5 years. Zach White, incredible team. We'll be talking about Bernie Pops Kransu and his legendary career at the end of the month. Upcoming, we got Mr. Dan Super Anderson in May, Mr. Bob Liker from American Kick, Mr. Jim Buten, and the one and the only super producer, Mr. Bill Viola, coming up in May. Now, we have some upcoming things that we're going to cover, but right now I'd like to talk about some of our new sponsors. In particular, they've been sponsored for quite a while, but we're going to always advertise until the event comes up. And this is Dr. Nick Chamberlain. He has put together the Gathering of Eagles, the original Gathering of Eagles, Kempo Gathering, August 11th, the 12th, and 13th, with the Kempo International Black Belt Hall of Fame nominations and inductions. He has an incredible array of guests. Patricia Lim, Dr. Lim, Gary Forback, Al Dukakis, Joe Ribillo, just an amazing group of Kempo people from Kempo, Chinese Kempo, Lua Lua, Hawaiian Kempo, American Kempo, Kaji Kempo. It's a non-prejudiced group of Kempo styles who are coming together to celebrate what Kempo has meant to America and to the country. People from all over the world will be coming to this event, August 11th, 12th, and 13th in Dallas, Texas. Dr. Nick Chamberlain. You can contact him on Facebook. Also, we pick up a new sponsor, Eventix Incorporated, and they are event registration at its best. They cover a lot of the tournaments throughout the country. Some of the major events that will be coming up, particularly COTA Wars, they'll be September the 29th and 30th. Always the books, particularly the first one, The Who's Who in the Martial Arts, which you can always get at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or Century Fitness. Or you can call directly Hanchi Bowen at 919-618-8075 and order your book directly. This is a Who's Who in Martial Arts group of stories of people throughout the country who helped build the martial arts to what it is today. Also, it covers the histories of the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s and many, many people that you just heard about. Now you get to read their stories because they sent them in personally, and we've edited them and put them into this book for 2016 and 2017. If I'm not mistaken, you can go to the app if you listened to Hanchi Bowen earlier in the show, and you can actually make a nomination for someone to be in 2017, and that's pretty cool. The next book that we have that was a sponsor for the show is Memoirs of American Samurai. This is the book and the story of the Sport Karate Museum Archives, how it started with some amazing people like Ken Knutson, Sid Campbell, rest in peace, Howard Jackson, rest in peace, but Alan Steen, Mike Stone, Jim Harrison, quite a group of people who were the original history generals. This also tells a story of how we came up with the idea through letters and documents, and it's just a fascinating book. You can go to Amazon.com, type in Memoirs of American Samurai, and you can order your copy today. Always a shout out to Black Belt Magazine and our dear friends Floyd Burke, editor, and senior editor, Mr. Robert Young. Black Belt Magazine has been there from the very beginning for us, and we appreciate it so much. Also, we have a big shout out to Max Cardoza and John Anderson, who just got their 10th degree black belt from Mr. J. Pat Burleson last week at Billy Smith School. Congratulations to both you gentlemen. You're two of my history generals and well-deserved. If anybody deserves something like that, that is really cool. And congratulations from the history generals, as always. April the 22nd, upcoming. If you've never heard of this lady, look her up on Facebook. She's an amazing, amazing instructor. Her name is Jenny Pless. And this year she is forerunning the Kung Fu Festival. That will be in Houston, Texas on April the 22nd in Sugar Land, Texas. Jenny Pless is an amazing, amazing instructor. She not only teaches for the Harmony Schools, she teaches around the state, and she's a certified referee for the Taekwondo. And on top of that, she still competes, and she's opened up the Living Legends. And hopefully she'll open up this year with an amazing Kung Fu weapons for him. Very talented lady. Make sure you look her up on their Facebook. Jenny Pless, J-E-N-N-Y-P-L-E-S-S. A super instructor, a super lady. April the 29th in Victoria, Texas, there'll be a huge barbecue. Also, the Four Seasons Tournament, which is, I think it's running, it's 116, 117. It's amazing. The gentleman that has put these on, his name is Mr. Ralph Joski. And just to talk a moment about Ralph, you know, Ralph is an amazing person. He was responsible, along with Steve Powell, to help bring the Taekwondo forums in from Master Jun Ri and share them with the Texas people. Those forums changed a lot of people's lives because they were mandatory on almost all the tests in those early days. And you can thank Mr. Ralph Joski for learning those forums and bringing the Texas. He was also a great fighter and great forms competitor. And, you know, well, Ralph is fighting the Big C, and this money that he'll be raised April the 29th through the barbecue and through his GoFundMe account and through the proceeds of the tournament will help fight his battle. And we appreciate him so much. So if you're out in Victoria Way, or if you go to Facebook, just type in Mr. Ralph Joski. All his information will come up, and we appreciate your support as always. Coming up in July the 6th through the 8th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada, will be the one and only super show put on by Century Fitness. This year will be very special. It will be featuring the Sport Karate Museum Archives booth, which will feature a live performance and show by Hanchi Jesse Bowen. There will be a live performance and book signing by Mr. Jim Buten, originally Blood and Guts Jim Buten. That's right, he'll be there live. Also, Mr. Jim Butcher will be representing the Sport Karate Museum Archives. And the one, the only, 1980 Karate Illustrated number one fighter, world champion in point karate, Mr. Jimmy Tabaris, will be there signing autographs and representing the Sport Karate Museum. If you're around the Super Show Las Vegas, this is something that you do not want to miss. And also be able to be on the live show. We'd love to ask you some questions and just be able to say hello, come by and say hello and see Hansi Bowen. This is the MGM Grand Super Show, July the 6th through the 8th. Well, I'd like to I tell you one more thing before we get started. Before we get started, you know, the gentleman we're interviewing tonight, a lot of people just saw this fearless fighter, and we've talked about that. But you know, I think Mr. White has so much more in his life, and I'd like him to share that in this next part. But we're going to start out with the legend's name game first. We'll threw some names at him, and he's got 2 minutes, or excuse me, 2 minutes or two paragraphs to talk about each individual person, no holds barred. And then I'd like to talk a little bit about the other part of Zip White, the other part that maybe people don't know about, and why he turned out to be the way he is and who he is today, which is an amazing individual. Hey, Zip, are you there, buddy?
Yes, I am.
Very good. You ready to play the Legends Name Game?
Sure.
Okay, now you got 2 minutes, or you got two paragraphs, or you hear this belligerent sound, okay? I'm just kidding, brother. I'm just kidding. So here we go. I'm going to throw a name at you, and then you got a couple minutes, a couple paragraphs to talk about how you feel. You ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Nasty Anderson, better known as Steve Anderson. Nasty Anderson.
Yeah, he has the blitz. He always came at me with the blitz, but there was one time when he came at me with the blitz up in Fort Worth Pro-Ams, and he missed me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm telling you, that kick in the movie Bruce Lee Entered a Dragon, there was a scene underneath the bridge where his sister did a 360-degree spinning heel kick and knocked that guy head into the – I started to knock Nasty Anderson off that stage, but the good part of me said no, but I'm serious. I mean, if I was a vicious guy, he would have been off that stage because he came in with the blitz. He missed. I don't know if somebody's got that on video or not, but I just stood there looking at him. But I almost did that 360 heel kick and knocked him off the stage, man. But, I'm not that kind of guy. So, you know, it's not about my malice or anything like that. I'm a technician, more or less, you know.
Lucky Nasty. Okay, how about Ray McCallum?
Raymond, man, that dude is tenacious. I mean, I watched him fight middleweight, and there was a lot of guys. Robert Harris, Crowder, you name them. And finally, here in Texas, I brought him up in Fort Worth. Now, a couple of years ago, he tried to tell me that there was a pretty kick that I have on my Facebook page that he sent me. He's throwing a jump spin hook kick, and he said, "I hit you in the head with that kick, Zip." I told Raymond, you never hit me in my head with a kick, never. But that kick was pretty. And like I told him, I said, you know, Ray, if we would have fought each other like Woods down here in Texas, we would never made it out on the national circuit because those guys would have plowed through us. When Texans walked out on that national stage, those guys in other states knew that we was there to go at it. It was no game.
Yes, sir.
And because that's what we fought here in Texas. I mean, we're hard fighters. And I don't diminish that not one bit at all that I came up that way because I think that you need to have skills, but you need to be able to pull your punches. I mean, I could throw a kick even today without injuring somebody. I could pull it without even hitting them. And it's more or less, hey, look, what I could have done versus what I can do. And it's not about trying to beat somebody down all the time, you know. But the thing, we always went tit for tat towards the end because you know, I got him up in New Braunfels, and there was one other tournament I got him. But I enjoy fighting Ray because he's got mad skills, and I like that.
Very good. Okay, how about Al Francis?
Al Francis, Al and I never fought. Now he tried to tell me one time at a tournament, pound for pound, he was the baddest fighter in the United States. But I say, Al, that's pound for pound. Well, man, I'm wearing 210.
Right.
I'm not. I mean, and at that time, I was fighting here in San. I was fighting here in San Antonio.
Now you did fight someone small. You did fight someone small and a couple times. And tell me about Troy Dorsey.
Oh yeah. Man, Troy. Matter of fact, the last time Troy and I fought, we was in a boxing ring right here in San Antonio. And I mean, I beat him, but Troy, man, that's a bad dude. I mean, you know, he's small, but he's fast. But you know, I like the angle fighting, because you got to cut people off. You can't, you know. And my back fist, of course, I had to reach over him and plus my leg speed. But you know, when you got groin kicks, man, you can't just leave your foot up in the air either. So, but him and I, you know, Troy and I are real good friends, man. Matter of fact, we talked a lot back in 2015, and of course, you know, there. And yeah, that's another that I forgot to mention. Being religious definitely helped me out back home in Virginia, man, growing up as a Baptist child, because, you know, you have to fear God, but yet by the same token, you got to respect your fellow man. And that's part of that growing up in the country that really settled me down to be who I am, because, you know, I've never been a guy who had my head on so big that I thought I was on top of the world, even when I was the best of the best. I was still
going
to ring.
I want to talk about in just a minute. I got a couple more guys for you, and then we're going to talk about that. That's part of that I want to talk about. I got a couple more for you. Our dear friend that left the earth a few years back, I had some good wars with him. I'm sure you probably fought him a few times. Richard Dixon.
Oh, yes. You know, my instructor and him, they would get together, our school with their school, and Richard kind of mentored us and kind of, you know, took us along to tournaments with him. I actually went out to San Angelo when I first saw Ray McCallum and Larry Technician Lockhart in the ring for the first time. And, man, that was a good match. Larry actually beat Raymond back then with sweeps and everything, taking him down. But Richard Dixon was the one who actually started us with traveling to tournaments, you know, because my instructor would go there and we would fight on the weekend sometimes just to get our sparring in and stuff like that. But he was a great dude, man. You know, and to mention that, Richard Dixon and Dick Rainey used to hang out. And I must say that is one man I must mention tonight is Dick Rainey, because as I was over there on the south side where Dixon's school was, Mr. Rainey actually, he said, Zip, I want you to go with me this weekend. And he took me all the way to Houston and introduced me to the board of the AOK, the head board, the chairman, and everybody else. He said, Zip, man, you're going to be one heck of a fighter one of these days, and none of these people know who you are. He said, so I want to take you to the AOK meeting and introduce you to all of them. And so through Richard Dixon and Dick Rainey is why, you know, the people in AOK that I started fighting both, the UMA and AOK, and then I went national. So,
that's a great story. When I mentioned Richard, I got to tell you my story. And it's my favorite story. You know, I have his uniform, his belt, his first degree black belt certificate, everything in the museum that was donated by his students. And I was on Danielle's team, you know, in 93, 92, with Jennifer Robles and Chris Minshew. And, you know, it was a lot of fun back then. But my favorite story of all time with Richard was, you know, I was the arbitrator, and Danielle was fighting in San Antonio, and she busted this girl in the nose, and blood was everywhere. You know, I mean, it was just one of those things. And she was on my team and everything, but, you know, I was the arbitrator, so I had to disqualify her. And you know how Richard was with his kids and with himself. And basically, he went crazy on me. He went literally nuts. And, you know, it stopped the tournament. And it just, you know, basically he goes like this. He says, well, Gary, you know, we'll take it outside. We'll take it outside. And, you know, we were all hyped and stuff. And so I put my notes down and I go outside and he's walking in front of me and everybody's walking behind us and the tournament stopped. And he opens the door like for me to go in front of him. And like, I'm going, my street sense goes, I ain't going to do that. And he, you ain't going to lie. I said, no, you go. He opens the door and he goes outside. Now I walk up to him and, you know, he's a little bigger than I am. And he whispers in my ear, Zip, I swear, he goes like this. He goes, we fooled them all, Gary Lee. We fooled them all. We fooled them all. Kissed me on the cheek.
Yeah.
Turned around and went back into the auditorium, the hall. And after that, you know, you couldn't break me away from him in a in a spoon factory. I was his friend, and I realized there was a different part of Richard. Yeah, there was a different part. Now I want to end it with one more lady, and I end it with a lady. I know she's very close to you. You just went to a tournament. She's very close to me. Miss Linda Denley. Tell me your feelings about Linda.
Oh my goodness, man, we go way back. You know, we both punk show.
Yes.
And, of course, when I first met her, well, my instructor took us to a tournament in Houston. I met her there and found out she was Tung Shido. And, you know, we was on the dance floor, You know how we used to have those after parties back in the day. But,
yes.
You know, became real good friends. And then when I started traveling on the national circuit, of course, you know, those promoters would actually have her room and stuff. And, we, you know, especially up in Chicago, we would stretch together and work out and stuff right before the fights. And, man, we became the best of friends. Matter of fact, I stayed with her this weekend after a tournament. Matter of fact, I'm going back this weekend to go to church with her for Easter Sunday. So, but, man, we go way back, man. I was always there. Matter of fact, Grasshopper and I had to defend her a couple of times at these national tournaments, man, because they was doing awful, girl. I mean, the cheating was so obvious. It's like, my goodness, man. And the guy's sitting right there saying, I don't see nothing. It's like, man, really? And, you know, it ain't about nothing else about competition. But, man, you know, don't be so blatant about, you know. And I know you want your person to win because we're in their state, because we travel everywhere else, man. But, you know, her and I, man, are real close bond, real good friends. And, you know, like I told her, she thanked me for coming to her tournament this weekend. I said, hey, you know, we're too good of friends not to do that. But we were both ranked number one in Texas at the same time, being Tung Shido. And that made me so proud. I got other pictures with her in the on Facebook, but it was just so great to know that she's a champion. And girl, you know, the whole thing is you are who you hang around with. If you hang around with bunch of thugs, you're gonna be a thug. If you hang around with good people with good balance of life, and I call it a camaraderie in the military, where I got your back, you got mine, regardless of what happens, because we're not the type of people to go out and start stuff. We can finish it,
yes, sir.
But we don't have to start it. But she's one of those people that, I mean, man, we had such a good time, and she treated everybody like she wanted to be treated, man. That's where I grew up, and so she's pretty awesome.
I think she was an amazing fighter, and she is definitely. I just recently posted in an interview when I'm asked about who I feel the greatest woman black belt fighter ever lived is Linda Denley, and there's so many other women that are incredible out there that deserve to be called the best, and they were the best in their decades, I'm sure. But overall, Linda was on every professional team, and there's little things that I know about Linda that you know about Linda, and a lot of people are personal. They know that she's very special, that she should have been an Olympic athlete, for instance. But one of the things that I love telling about Linda Denley, and I kind of teased everybody about the story today we put on the social media, but a little more in depth. There was a redneck cowboy that showed up that night at the workout, and she drew his name. And it was the first time ever in my life I ever saw a woman, let alone a black belt, but a woman beat up a man. And Linda Denley did that. When she was done beating this guy up, he had blood out of his nose and his ear. I knew he had a couple cracked ribs from the side kicks, and he deserved it. He wouldn't shake her hand, and he showed disrespect to her. And that's one thing about Miss Denley. She's very respectful, very, very honorable as far as it comes to integrity when it comes to the martial arts. And that night, Ernie was there, Steve Fontenot was there, and there's a lot of people there that loved her, and she just wasn't going to tolerate that. I saw that part of her, that she didn't tolerate anything. And then you turn around and you talk to her on a personal basis, you understand that she's a lady. She's a pure lady and the class act of a pure champion. So I really respect her a lot. So
well
hey, buddy,
you know,
that's the Legends Name Game. You did really good. I got to ask you a question, though. Last year, we put you in as a history general, and that means you're always going to be a historian toward the history of sport karate. And I know it was very special to you, but I want to hear from your own voice what it's like to know that I can count on anything in history as far as San Antonio or the Air Force. You'll find out for me. What's it like being a history general for the Sport Karate Museum Archives?
To tell you the truth, Gary, other than being nominated number one outstanding fighter here in Texas by the AOK, That's the only other award I done got from people here in Texas, man, was that Joe Louis Fighting Award and the History General Award that I got from you. Which, you know, I mean, I know who I am, and so it's no big thing. But, you know, like the National Black Belt, Texas Black Belt League or whatever, you know, I've never been one to yell my own name and say, look at me, that kind of stuff. But, man,
yeah.
I want to let you know I really appreciate what you did because, I mean, I wasn't expecting
Well, you're
that.
An animal. You're an animal, Zip White. And besides that, I found out you're a cook. You're a cook, too, right?
Oh, man. You have to learn back home in Virginia, man, growing up in the country.
I went to your Facebook page, and I saw fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, collard greens, green beans, sweet potatoes, dressing, giblet gravy, barbecue ribs. You want me to go on? I just want to hear your
favorite
gruel.
As we talked last week, man, you're the chef, though, man. You're the chef. But I did go to Norman Rama's house a couple weeks ago.
I can cook a bottle of pinto beans. I can cook a pressure cooking pinto beans because of my South Carolina roots, what I had with Sam Chapman and those guys. And, you know, that I can do in bologna sandwiches. I'm the best there is. But let me tell you something. Tell me about the Zip White that my listeners don't know about. We know about the animal, the karate animal, the national competitor, the Air Force Master Sergeant, but you were a foster child, and that is hard. And also, you grew up in a time when there was prejudice, and I know that you went through a lot of stuff. But not getting in depth and making me all cry and stuff, tell me a little bit about Zip White that made you the man who you are today, your spiritual attitude.
Well, growing up in the foster home was rough because we didn't know whether or not we were the only kids, whether or not our parents were alive or not. It was me and my two brothers. Of course, Ray died in his late 20s. He was my oldest brother, and my other brother has been in jail.
I'm so sorry.
And so I looked at myself as, well, you know, I had to do something to make sure that I could break that string. I was the first one out of my family to graduate out of college. And, you know, it just kept me focused knowing that I couldn't fail my younger brother. Because later on I found I had two younger brothers and a sister, and I didn't want to let them down. So when I would do good in karate, I would send clippings home to my family and let them know that, hey, you know, I'm out here in Texas. But as a matter of fact, I even won a dance contest, and I sent the trophy home to my mom and found out that my sister broke it over my brother's head for some reason. I don't know what the problem was back home, but... you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, once I found my mom, well, the thing is, Gary, my foster mother had a stroke when I was in high school, and so I had to take care of her because my foster father worked. And so I told my kids, I said, look, I took care of my foster mom because she was my mother at the time, and I still call her my mom. Even though I found my mom, later on my social worker introduced us to my mother. And I remember the day he said, well, do you want to meet your mom? I said, well, my mom's in the house. And I think I was in middle school. And he said, no, do you want to meet your real mom? I said, you know my real mom? He said, yes, we found her. And I was like, well, yeah. And then my older brother was happy and excited. But I told my mom later on, I don't know if I would be the same person if I would have grew up with her. Because I saw alcohol and all this stuff. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. No, I'm not a perfect guy, Gary, and I would be lying to you if I said I was, and I'm not ashamed of that. But those things that I know, and I don't condemn anybody who do it, you know what I'm saying? I don't put anybody down who do it, but it wasn't for me. After my childhood, seeing the things that I saw growing up, I never wanted to put that in my mouth, you know, the alcohol or the smoking and stuff. And so I am who I am because of the way I grew up, what I saw, the people who I hung around with. And like I tell my kids, if you hang around with a C student, you're going to become a C student. You hang around an A student, you become an A student. So when I went to college, I went to Virginia Union back home for a year, but it was so expensive I couldn't afford it. So I joined the military so I could really, you know, pay for it through the military. And that's what I did when I retired. I retired with 18 years. I got out the military, and then I went to school full time. I had all A's except for one B. And that's because my instructor, my professor said, if you miss one day out of class, you will not get an A. Well, I had to go to court, Gary. This policeman said I did something that I know I didn't do, and I went to court, I fought it, and I won. And I used to watch Perry Mason back
good
in the
you.
Day, man.
Yes, sir.
I used to watch Perry Mason, and he taught me inductive deductive reasoning. And I used that, and I had a lawyer, but I actually represented myself when I was on that stand. And the people came to me and said, well, Mr. White, why do you think they ruled in your favor? I said, because I believe in God, and I prayed, and I told the truth. And they asked the jury that, and they said, well, we felt the officer lied, and which he did. He did lie. And the bottom line is my martial arts got me through that situation, Gary, and I kid you not. It wasn't a discipline that I had learned with my instructor, Mr. Reese, and because of who I am, that whole circumstance would have turned out differently because this guy approached me, and we had his hand on his gun, and I will tell you now, the only thing that went through my mind was Malcolm X, Dr. King, Harriet Tubman, and to hurt this guy. And I went viscerally. And so finally he said, well, you're scared now, aren't you? I mean, he didn't know who I was, Gary. He stood like his hat was almost touching my forehead. He said, you're scared,
right,
aren't you? You're scared. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this guy don't even know who he's dealing with. He's standing too close. But
right.
Then I started singing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And I started singing. He looked at me funny. He turned his head. He's like, this guy must be crazy. And he left me alone, man, honestly. That's true fact right
there. That was the Lord speaking to you. Absolutely.
And for those who don't believe, man, I'm trying to tell you they need to start believing, man, because, you know, God has looked out for me, man, over the years, and I truly believe that, and I believe in the Lord. And that's why I say, you know, if I can do anything to help somebody, I'm going to help you. I don't even have to know you to help you. But you're a very special person,
and that story just goes to show what I said beforehand, that you're very special other than all the karate and the amazing things that you've done. I'm very honored that you spent time with me tonight to do this interview and to answer some of the questions that I ask you. You know, the one thing that I've always wanted to say to you, and I'll say it to you publicly, you know, I did put you in my fun top 10 list, but you're in my top 10 list of the guys that I know that I had to be on my A game just to win a second or third place against you. You really pumped me up, and I knew that I had to be the very best when I did get into the ring with Zip Arnold White. And, you know, you are a champion's champion. I can remember seeing you on the sidelines before and after psyching yourself up, and I do remember that amazing back fist strike. So now, after all these years, I know why they call you Zip. I always wondered why they called you Zip, but so now I know. It was because of that amazing backhand strike. I want to do a little thing on my kata wars, and then I'm going to say some goodnight things to you, Zip, and then we're going to give it to Mr. Bowen. So just bear with me just 1 minute, okay, brother?
Okay, then.
We're upcoming on September the 29th, and we hope Zip will be there, the 29th and 30th for our kata wars presentation on our second annual one. This is where we've invited some of the top tournaments in the country, grand champions, to emerge on Texas on the 29th and 30th to create a national black belt kata championship. The producers, Darlene McPherson, Pagels, and the Sport Karate Museum and Jim Anderson are very excited about putting this together. We've also added Bubble Kumite for the kids. And we're going to be honoring those who serve, people like Mr. Zip White, Colonel Lightfoot, Mr. Phil Torres, and other people who in the armed forces throughout the years. We're also going to be doing the roast of the one and only George Minshew. And Friday night and Friday will be the Jim Harrison tribute honoring his 80 years on this earth. Some of the tournaments that we're actually honoring the grand champions that we've invited are not in any particular order. The AMAA Nationals, Jesse Bowen, producer. Also the Euphoria Games, Bill Viola, Hanchi Bowen, producer. World Cup Finals, John Chung, producer. Ocean State, which just finished, the Grand Christine Bannon Rodriguez and Don Rodriguez, producer. The Kumite Classic, Bill Viola, producer. The Dixieland Nationals, Dewey Earwood, producer. The Empire Nationals, Lee Ireland, producer. The Battle of Atlanta, the Ruth family, Mr. Joe Corley, and Ms. Lynn McGregor, producer. Diamond Nationals, John Worley, Pat Worley, and Larry Carnahan, producer. The Jam All Nationals, D. Crash Petway and Jason Holmes, producer. The Bill Wallace Superfoot Tournament, which we just finished. Their grand champion will be coming down to Houston. And producer Don DeVries and Richard McClain. The Capital Classics, the famous U.S. Capital Classics put on by Mr. Dennis Brown, August 4th and 5th, will also host the Legends Banquet this year. But their grand champion will be invited also to Cotta Wars. Louisiana Pro-Am, Pee Wee Blanco, producer. The American Kick Nationals, Bob Liker, producer. The Grand Slam Nationals, April the 22nd, Jeff Doss, producer. And the Long Beach International, Steve Cooper and Neil Harden, producer. Along with 8 chosen black belts from the Sport Karate Museum, will land on Houston September the 29th and 30th to have a national black belt kata shootout. For the roast, we'll take the top 5 and we'll crown a champion that night. So please come to Kata Wars in Houston, Texas, at the beautiful Hilton Galleria in Houston, Texas. Well, I can talk, can I? I can talk a lot, can I, brother? Well, let me tell you something. Honor Zip White, it's been an honor talking to you tonight, and you certainly are part of the history of sport karate. And I'm going to ask if you'd like to say anything in closing to any of my listeners, any guiding words to anybody who'd like to do karate in the future. What would you like to say to them?
Okay, all I can say is regardless of your background and your circumstances, don't let your circumstances guide you in the wrong direction. Just stay positive, keep your head down, and stay focused because who knows? You may be the next doctor, lawyer, or, you know, president, as far as I'm concerned, because nobody can stop you at what you want to do in life except for yourself. You know, you just got to make sure you don't hang around the wrong folks and know what you want in life and write down your goals. I've always told people, especially my students, give them a shout-out to all my students and my instructor, Mr. Reese, William Lewis down in Georgia. My black belts are Grasshopper Linson and Rebecca Novak. And, and Hulk, of course, I tried to get in touch with him, trying to get him down here too, but he's working up in Oklahoma now. But, you know, to all those kids who, like I told the kid this weekend, he was upset that he lost. And I told him, hey, man, a loss just means that you just go home, you work on your skills, and then you come back and you do better next time. So, you know, just don't doubt yourself right up if you plan on doing well, not just going to college or whatever. Just stay focused.
Yes, sir. Wise words from a wise man. Hachi Bowen, are you on the line, sir?
Yes, I am, sir. And Zip, that was a great interview tonight. I had a chance to meet with you in Texas. And guess what, everyone? You got to read his whole story. It is in Who's Who in the Martial Arts. So remember, get your copy so you can, you know, learn about these great legends in the martial arts, such as Zip.
Thank you.
And you know, we have a lot of really exciting things coming up. We've done so much in the past eight months since we released Who's Who in the Martial Arts. You know, we have the radio show, we have the radio station, we have mobile apps, keeping people informed. We've just teamed up with Beachbody, trying to promote fitness in the martial arts, giving martial arts school owners and individuals an opportunity not only to get fit, but to be able to start their own fitness business. We're going to be at the Europa Games on April the 22nd for the kickoff, the martial arts tour. And then on Sunday, the AMAA will launch its first certification for kickboxing, and this is primarily fitness kickboxing, and this is the reason why we've joined with Beachbody to provide a success platform for nutritional products, for continued education products on health and fitness. So we've just been having so many things going on, and let's not forget August the 4th in Washington, D.C., we have the release of a new 2017 Who's Who in the Martial Arts book. at Grandmaster Dennis Brown's event, where we will be hosting the AMAA Who's Who Legends Awards Banquet in Washington, D.C., honoring Grandmaster Joan Ree and a special tribute to the PKA, which, you know, primarily looking at and acknowledging Grandmaster Corley, Grandmaster Jeff Smith, Bill Clark, Bill Wallace, and also our, I would say, Master of Ceremony, Grandmaster Dennis Brown. So there's going to be so many awesome things going on. You really want to be there because it's going to be a very historical moment in the martial arts.
Well, that's amazing. And part of that is because of all the hard work that you have done these past few months and allow the Parts Unknown and the show that we do each week to allow to interview some of these masters and icons. And we really want to say thank you, Hansi Bowen, for your work and what you've done is dedicating the Who's Who in the Martial Arts book and the work that goes behind that, like the banquet and all the thing you've done is about putting us all together. Thank you so much. Again, we appreciate Zep White, and next week we'll be doing Judge Roy Kerbin. And with that said, I'd like to say everybody good night and welcome to our show, and we appreciate you listening. We'll see you next Tuesday night. Aloha.
Peace.
Coming to Charlotte, okay, North Carolina, the 2017 Europa Games Sport Karate Championship, your road to the UFC International Fight Week in Las Vegas. Come check out the largest health, fitness, and sports trade show in the world, taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina. The 2017 Europa Games Get Fit Sports Fest. The event will be held on April the 22nd and 23rd, 2017. Bring your entire family. It's open to the public. Over 500,000 square feet of expo activities. Over 100 vendors sampling and selling activewear, vitamins, health food, sports equipment, anti-aging products, and much more. You'll have live sporting events, wrestling, karate, powerlifting, bodybuilding, grappling, just to name a few. We even have a kids zone with free prizes for the little ones. We also have Black Belt Grand Champion Forms and Fighting Cash Prize. Plus the AMAA Grand Champion will represent the AMAA Sport Karate League at the Battle of Atlanta in Atlanta, Georgia with a free entry. For more information, call area code 919-489-6100. Jesse Bowen.